من قلوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد. وعلى آل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المنتجبين المكرمين، لا سيما بقية الله في العالمين، روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء، ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين من الآن إلى قيام يوم الدين. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. For the hastening of the return of our 12th Imam, please recite a salawat. Yesterday we discussed what spirituality meant. And we tried to get to this point that we need to, in this aspect as well, the aspect of spirituality, follow the teachings of Islam, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taught us in the Holy Quran and the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt. Tonight and for the following nights, we want to try to get a little more to some of the details of this. The first point that I wanted to go over is the issue of prayers. We cannot walk the path of spirituality without paying the importance that is required on the issue of prayer. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the second surah of the Holy Quran tells us what this book is a guidance for, the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Holy Quran. Who is this book supposed to guide? Spirituality is guidance, isn't it? It's further guidance. We sometimes neglect the fact that we are on a spiritual path automatically by being a Muslim and following the teachings of Islam. But it's further guidance. So anyway, the guidance comes from the Holy Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ذَلِكَ أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. This book is going to be a guidance for the muttaqeen. Now that doesn't mean that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent this book for people who are already muttaqeen. Okay, that's not what it means. What it means, as the other verses say, that the Holy Quran has been sent to guide mankind. What this means is only those who have the spirit of taqwa will be able to benefit from this book. They will actually be guided. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent it for everyone to be guided. But if you want to benefit from this, you got to be muttaqi. That's why some people actually read it, and instead of getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they move further and further away from Him. This is a book of guidance. It's not the book's fault. It's their fault. Now, what is muttaqi mean? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described, الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ, in the third verse of the surah. The first criterion, iman. Faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أَلَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ. And interestingly, this is a side point, but interestingly, this verse doesn't say believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It says يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ. There's a lot more غَيْب than only about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A lot of people have trouble accepting things that cannot be explained through scientific explanation. This verse tells us not. There are loads of things that you cannot see or physically be able to explain through scientific observation. There's ghaib, there's things that you cannot see. So, الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ. And the first practical aspect, practical description of the muttaqeen is وَيُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةِ. Uphold the prayer. Prayer is very important. Recite salawat, please. In Surah Muddathir, verses 34, excuse me, 38. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم كل نفس بما كسبت رهينة. Every soul is responsible and is going to be held accountable for what they have done. إلا أصحاب اليمين. Except for the أصحاب اليمين, people that are going to be on the right side, the good people. In describing them, well, afterwards it says, في جنات يتساءلون. They're going to be in gardens in the heavens. They will be asking عن المجرمين. They will be asking those who were not fortunate to be in paradise. The مجرمين. Those who did wrong. They're going to be asking ما سلككم في سقر. What caused you to be in the hellfire that you're in right now? Good question, right? They've already passed these tests, these good people, Ashabul Yameen. They've reached paradise. Now they're saying, okay, you guys did pass the test. What happened? Why weren't you on the right path? Why didn't you end up where we are? They answer, قَالُوا لَمْ نَكُ مِنَ الْمُصَلِّينَ. The problem was we did not pray. We were not one of those who were considered the مُصَلِّينَ. Those who pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us to pray 5 times a day. There's many effects to this. There's different levels of this. Inshallah, tomorrow night we'll carry on with this discussion. I want to describe some of the effects that are very easily understood, that we can find in the Holy Quran of this prayer, and then see if our prayers actually have these effects or not, and see where we're lacking. In Surah Ma'arij, verses 19 through 27, say salawat please. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إن الإنسان خلق هلوعا إذا مسه الشر جزوعا وإذا مسه الخير منوعا. The human being has been created such that when hardships and calamities hit him, he starts fussing about everything. وَإِذَا مَسَّهُ الْخَيْرُ, when he gets something good, manua, he keeps it to himself. He doesn't want anyone else to have that. This is how human beings are, except إِلَّا الْمُصَلِّينَ. Okay. Those who pray are not going to be like that. They don't have this flaw. But interestingly, this wasn't the main part that I'm trying to use these verses for. It says, when it describes the مُصَلِّينَ, it's an interesting description that we get here. A lot of times Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, like the first verse that I recited to you in Surah Baqarah, says, هُلًا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ, and the following verses start to describe what the muttaqeen are. In these verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the musalleen do not have this flaw that when they are under hardship, they keep fussing about everything, and when they have something good, they just want it to themselves. They don't want anyone else to benefit from that. The description is this, الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَلَى صَلَاتِهِمْ دَائِمُونَ. The people who are constantly praying. Now I'll get to this point later on. The point that I want to get from here, from the following verses, وَالَّذِينَ في أموالهم حق معلوم للسائل والمحروم. The people that in their wealth, in what they have gained, there is a portion for the people who ask for help, and for the people who do not have enough, for the needy. والذين يصدقون بيوم الدين. People that truly believe in the Day of Judgment. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ مِنْ عَذَابِ رَبِّهِمْ مُشْفِقُونَ. It goes on. other verses, this one talks about their belief in or their fear of the punishment in the hereafter. Some verses talking about how they do not commit sins like fornication, or getting, having the wrong relationship with the opposite sex, and the other, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِأَمَانَاتِهِمْ وَعَهْدِهِمْ رَاعُونَ, people who hold and respect the trust that someone else has put into them. If I trust you with something, you hold that trust. Now, it's interesting. This is the description that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us of the musalli. In other words, if you're not like this, you're not musalli. If I'm not like this, I'm not a musalli. It says, musalli, a person who performs his prayers, who prays, is going to have these characteristics. If I don't have that, then that means there's something wrong here in my salat. Recite salawat, please. In Surah Hud, verse 114, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us why He has made the prayers wajib 5 times a day. It says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وأقم الصلاة طرفي النهار وزلفا من الليل إن الحسنات يذهبن السيئات. Perform the prayer during the day and the night, because إن الحسنات يذهبن السيئات. Something you probably, many of you have heard. It's like a shower you take on a daily basis. It says, Al-hasanat yudhibna sayyat. I do some wrong things. I do things that I'm not supposed to. And this action of prayer washes that away. Al-hasanat yudhibna sayyat. Takes away the... So 5 times a day we're told to perform this prayer to wash the wrong, the filth that we've got on ourselves by our own deeds. This is another effect of the prayer. And the last one that I want to discuss tonight is in Surah Ankabut, verse 45. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم أتل ما أوحي إليك من الكتاب وأقم الصلاة. Read or recite parts of this book that have been revealed to you and uphold the prayer. Inna salata tanha anil fahsha'i wal munkar. Prayer calls upon you and tells you not to do wrong deeds. It keeps you away from fahsha'i and munkar. Fahsha are usually the types of sins that deal with, the shahawat. The wrong sexual relationship, for instance, is shahawat. Al-fahsha wal-munkar. The prayer is supposed to constantly call upon us and keep us away from these things. The prayer, according to the other verse, is supposed to cause us to be willingly giving when the call comes, when there's a needy, when I'm supposed to give in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's supposed to, in other words, if I pray, that prayer should cause me to practice the other parts of the religion too. That's what prayer is supposed to do. Prayer has been mentioned on many occasions in the Holy Quran. Every time that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or many times when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to talk about, the good people, the examples that we get, okay, the examples of the actions that they perform are usually two. One is salat, the other one is zakat, okay. يُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةِ أَقَامُ الصَّلَاةِ, okay. وَيُؤْتُونَ الزَّكَاةُ. But sometimes actually, the salat has been mentioned in the Holy Quran in a negative tone. In Surah Ma'un, if you've read, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ. Shame on the Musallin. Wait a second, we just had Musallin being spoken about very highly, and in this verse is فَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ. It's not any Musalli, the following verse is الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ. Those who do not take their prayers seriously. They do pray. It's not like they don't pray. But the prayer is being taken lightly. Recite Salawat, please. In Surah Tawbah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the story of the munafiqeen. You know, a huge problem that I hope to God we don't have is a trait by the name of nifaq, hypocrisy. Hypocrisy is a very dangerous trait. If it creeps into you, you're just not truthful with yourself anymore. You don't even know who you are. People that called upon the imams for action, like in Karbala, they called upon him when he came, they fought him. This is nifaq. This is hypocrisy. Amirul Mu'mineen salamullah alayhi suffered most from this hypocrisy. When the 12th Imam comes, Salamullah alayhi wa ajjalallah ta'ala farajahu al-sharif. The problem that he would first suffer from would be the issue of nifaq. Now, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the munafiqeen, one of their traits is that when they come to the prayer, they are kusala. They're not fully awake, they're drifting off. In verse 54 of Surah Tawbah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about this, it's a series of verses where the munafiqeen, who when the time came for benefit, okay, they were always there. When the hardships came, they started saying, jihad came, call for jihad, let's go to Uhud, let's go to this battle, let's go to that battle. Okay, they would stay back with the women. When the time came to benefit, they were always there. Now, sometimes they would have to give. Okay, it would benefit them to actually spend their money in the way, seemed like it was being paid in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the Holy Prophet and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that that money that you gave is not going to be accepted. Okay, in verse 54, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا مَنَعَهُمْ أَن تُقْبَلَ مِنْهُمْ نَفَقَاتُهُمْ إِلَّا أَنَّهُمْ كَفَرُوا بِاللَّهِ وَبِرَسُولِهِ وَلَا يَأْتُونَ الصَّلَاةَ إِلَّا وَهُمْ كُسَالَى. The reason why their charity was not accepted was because according to this verse, it says, they disbelieved, they had kufr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I have to explain this a little bit. There's different types of kufr. Okay? If they're kafir, we have numerous other verses that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if you're kafir, and you do something good, kafir means someone that rejects. Okay, not someone that just doesn't know and doesn't believe because they don't know. Kafir is someone that rejects faith. Okay. If someone rejects faith, doesn't matter what they do, it's not going to be accepted. If I know, if I understand that God is my creator and I disbelieve in Him, doesn't matter what I do, it's not going to be accepted. We have other verses. Now these people are actually praying. They're in Medina, they're with the Prophet, so they're portraying themselves as being Muslim. So what it says by their kafir, what does that mean? This is, they say, they're kafir in action. In actions, they're not, in their actions, they're not accepting the authority of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is something that I kind of hinted last night. Anyhow, So the first problem is that they're not accepting the authority of God when it comes to their actions and doing what God says and staying away from what God says to stay away from. The second problem is وَلَا يَأْتُونَ الصَّلَاةَ إِلَّا وَهُمْ كُسَالَةَ. The problem why your charity is not accepted is because when you come to prayer, you're not taking it serious. You're yawning, and that's their problem. There's a hadith talking about the issue of prayer. I'd like to go over a few of them. Say salawat. Interesting hadith I found from Imam al-Sadiq salamullah alayh. In the second volume, of the book Al-Kafi, the Imam says, لا تغتروا بصلاتهم ولا بصيامهم. Don't be fooled. Now this is talking about a different issue. I want to derive a point from it. It says, don't be fooled by people who pray and think that they're very faithful, great people. Don't be fooled by that. وَلَا بِصِيَامِهِمْ and neither by their fasts. فَإِنَّ الرَّجُلَ رُبَمَا لَهِجَ بِالصَّلَاةِ وَالصَّوْمِ حَتَّى لَوْ تَرَكَهُ إِسْتَوْحَشْ. Because one could get so used to prayer and fast that if they don't do it, they're going to feel like something is going on. They're just doing it out of habit. If you want to see if this is a good person or not, it says, وَلَكِنْ اِخْتَبِرُوهُمْ عِنْدَ صِدْقِ الْحَدِيثِ وَأَدَاءِ الْأَمَانَةِ. Check them out on their words. Are they truthful? Do they lie? Do they respect the trust that was put into them? If I tell them a secret, am I going to be hearing it at some forum or some chat room or somewhere? That's where you got to test. This is important. Some people pray because they're in the habit of praying. If they don't pray, they're just going to feel weird. I'm doing something wrong here. That's not why we pray. Not every prayer is going to have those effects. Just don't be fooled. Don't think that's a great person. Okay, salat according to the Holy Quran is supposed to make you a good person. It says no, when you see them praying, don't think that these are great people. You got to test them with other things. You got to look at the rest of the package of Islam. If they're not practicing the rest of it, then there's something wrong with that prayer. They're not great. Salat is very important. Taking it serious is very important. One thing is that some people may not even pray. Okay, that's a huge problem. All right, we're not, alhamdulillah, I hope to God, there's no one amongst us that doesn't pray at all. Okay. That's something else. I'm not talking at that level. But praying doesn't mean that if I am praying, I'm performing the 5-time prayers, that there's hadith. Imam al-Kadhim salamullah alayhi said, إِنَّكُ لَمَّا حَضَرَ أَبِي الْوَفَاتِ قَالَ لِي. Look at how important this issue is. Imam al-Kadhim says, when my father was on the deathbed, he called me and said to me, يَا بُنَيْ إِنَّهُ لَا يُنَالُ شَفَاعَتُنَا لَا يَنَالُ شَفَاعَتَنَا شَفَاعَتُنَا مَنَ اسْتَخَفَّ بِالصَّلَاةِ. My son, the shafa'ah that the Holy Prophet and his Ahlul Bayt have been promised that they will have on the Day of Judgment will not include those who take salat lightly. It's not those who don't pray, that's out of the question. It's people who take it lightly. And what does it mean to take prayer lightly? One of the examples mentioned in hadith, I'll read you this hadith, and it'll be my last hadith inshallah for tonight. Imam al-Baqir salamullah alayhi has been narrated to have said, قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ, or he says, بَيْنَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَعَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ جَالِسٌ فِي الْمَسْجِدِ. The Holy Prophet was sitting in the masjid. إِذْ دَخَلَ رَجُلٌ فَقَامَ يُصَلِّي. Person entered the masjid and he started praying. The Prophet's present there and he's watching him pray. فَلَمْ يُتِمْ رُكُوعَهُ وَلَا سُجُودَهُ. He's going, he's like, he's exercising. He's like, Allahu Akbar, Bismillah. In ruku, subhanallah. Getting up before his dhikr is done. Okay. لَمْ يُتِمْ سُجُودَهُ وَلَا رُكُوعَهُ. He doesn't finish the sujood or ruku. He quickly goes in there and quickly comes back up without doing the dhikr properly. And just, you know, I'm just doing this salah. He did that. فَقَالَ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ نَقِرَ كَنَقْرِ الْغُرَابِ. Said, this is like the pecking of the crow. This is not prayer. It's like someone's bending down like the crow and pecking something off the ground. That's what it looks like. It's not prayer. It says, لَإِن مَاتَ هَذَا وَهَاكَذَا صَلَاتُهُ لَيَمُوتَنَّ عَلَى غَيْرِ الدِّينِ. If this person dies and this is the way he prays, he would have left this world on a different religion, not my religion. This is not my religion. This is not my prayer. Taking the salat seriously means you gotta pay attention to what you're doing. What are we doing in prayer? We are in the presence of God at all times, but at this part of the day, at this point, at this time, we are facing the direction that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has wanted us, and we are speaking to God. Doesn't that have respect? When you speak to your elders, you respect them. You're speaking to God. Don't just get up, Allahu Akbar, Bismillah, really quickly and not even knowing, but that's not the way. The least amount that is absolutely necessary for the prayer to be something acceptable, okay, is to follow the wajibat of the prayer. Learn the wajibat. We're not allowed to just, while we're saying the dhikr in ruku, or before we get to ruku, we start saying the dhikr, subhanAllah, subhanAllah. No, you have to wait until you go. There's a respect there. Okay, you bend down fully. After you've bent down completely, then you start saying subhanAllah, 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 or subhana rabbiyal azim. After you've finished, then you get up. You don't start getting up right in the middle. When you get up, you have to stand calmly. Go down. When you're in sujood, when you're calm, then you start saying the dhikr. This is the least. Okay. The least. Let's learn those wajibat that have been mentioned. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us one of the true musalleen. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to benefit from this holy month. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to hasten the return of our 12th Imam, Ajjalallah ta'ala farajahu sharif. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to hasten, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to prolong the life of and give good health to our maraja, all those who are working for the cause of Islam, especially our leader. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us all of our sins, to forgive our parents, all those who have taught us the word in Islam, of their sins. Wassalamu alaikum.